Revelation 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Welcome to By the Word of Their Testimony, and here is your host, Casey Vukirka.
Hello and welcome to the program. So glad you could join us today. And today we are so delighted to have a special guest here in the studio, Jeremy Heitman. Thank you so much for coming to visit us and to share some of your story with us today.
Hi, Casey. Good day to you.
Thank you. Yeah. And tell me a little bit about where you are from, Jeremy.
Oh, I'm originally from the Philippines and I migrated in Australia because I got married to an Australian.
Okay.
So I fell in love with Australia, basically.
Okay, you fell in love with Australia and an Australian.
And an Australian, yeah.
Beautiful.
So I migrated here in 2021, December.
Okay.
At the peak of the COVID,
Quite recently, right off the back of COVID. Wow, what a journey that would have been.
It was such an amazing journey, you know, like transitioning from, you know, being single and... Mm-hmm. Yeah, just doing a lot of things back in the Philippines and migrating to a place where I was isolated from everyone because we live in a countryside, you know, from the northwest of Adelaide, I guess. I'm very bad at directions, but my husband said it's northwest of Adelaide, so we live at York Peninsula, and it's like, it was a very isolated place for me at first, but now I kind of enjoy it because, well, I just recently gave birth, so it was an amazing thing.
Got a little one as well.
Yeah, that keeps me busy, really.
Definitely. That'll be a good distraction for you in a new country.
Yeah, definitely.
Have you been back to the Philippines since you moved out here?
Honestly, no. And it's been a while, you know. It's like... It's been such an amazing journey. It feels like I've been here for a long time, but it's actually not. Like, I've only been here for a year, but it's like time goes back really quickly and it seems like I've been here forever. But yeah, no, so I haven't been back to the Philippines since I moved here.
Okay, so lots has obviously happened and we are so keen to hear more about your story. And today Jeremy is here sharing because she is a singer. And I understand that you have a singing ministry, or that's your focus of ministry. Tell me a little bit more about that.
So, I used to be a singing missionary back in the Philippines. So, well, from my childhood, like I say to all people that I come across with, I'm like, I couldn't remember any time in my life where I wasn't singing, when I wasn't singing, you know. So I literally had consciousness in the world and I was already singing. So it's like I've been a part of my life, obviously. But yeah, it started from when I was very little. My dad has told me and the people that we come across with many times that they prayed about it from when I was conceived, from the moment they knew I was there on my mom's tummy, and they prayed for a child that would be used wholly for the glory of God. And he specifically asked for a singer because they actually met in a singing group. They weren't soloists, but they were part of a singing group back in the Philippines.
In your parents?
My parents, and they met there.
Right. So they're good singers as well, is that right?
Again, they were not soloists,
okay.
So they were not trained, but
they enjoyed singing together.
And I think, I mean, Filipinos love music.
That's true. Yeah. They've got the karaoke culture there, don't they?
Yeah. It's part of the tradition.
Very much. Okay.
So, so I have been trained, obviously, to sing. Mm. And I was doing a lot of mission trips in the Philippines. So basically, one of the biggest things that we do there is to assist evangelisms through the music ministry. So in the Philippines, because there's such a music culture, and that's why it's also included in getting involved. It's a big part of ministry there. Mm. So when we do evangelisms per se, like 2 weeks evangelism, you know, and pastors or directors from different unions and conferences do this. So I do get invited to assist those kind of ministries.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm more of on the reaping. Because before that, there's like a groundwork that's happening in the church. And when it's like the big evangelism or even little ones, I get invited to that, to assist those and sing appeal songs or do music items before that, you know, to prepare the hearts of the people before the message and to do an appeal after the message.
Yeah, and music is such a powerful way to reach into the very heart, doesn't it? And can open up hearts that would otherwise be closed.
It's
quite a powerful skill to have and use in ministry, isn't it? And what a blessing that your parents had that vision to that they wished to have someone that they could bring into the world who would serve ideally in that capacity. And I think that God has abundantly fulfilled that desire of their heart in, in your life. What a blessing. So you were sharing before how you learnt at a very young age to sing, and you can't remember life without singing. So tell me a little bit about your personal journey of how did you grow in your knowledge and understanding of God? Obviously, your parents were God-fearing, from what you said before. So how, what did that look like in your life as you were growing up?
You know how most of the time I actually get amazed with people who's got this conversion experience, because I always thought to myself, oh, wow, there's like, they've seen that kind of world. You know, it's such an amazing experience how God transforms that into our lives. And I didn't really realize that until I've gotten into those points in my life where I felt like, because I thought that I have always been with God, because I was doing mission work, until I realized I was doing godly things, but I wasn't doing God's things. And it's there's a massive difference to that.
And that would have been such an epitome for you to realize that, hey.
Yeah, because, well, as a young kid, I was trained, right, to do mission. So it's basically I memorized this, like, I got 100 songs, like, gospel music. So basically I was singing in the church and doing all these mission trips and all these kind of stuff. But because I was, I started at a very young age, there were plenty of times in my life where I was singing and I don't even understand what I was singing about, you know? And not until I've gone through experiences, like radical things in my life that made me realize, oh, this, and you stop and think of those messages. I'm like, I'm singing this song forever, but I've never understood it until now. So one of the biggest things actually was, it was, so maybe I'll just give a little bit of background. We moved in Manila. So Manila is like the capital city of the Philippines. It's like the city. I came from the province, which is like a countryside. Yeah, so I was 5 years old when we moved there. And then I was exposed at a young age to do singing ministry in the under the Central Zone Conference in the Philippines at that time. And there was this big thing. It was 2008. Mark Finley came to the Philippines to do the general, it was like a, it was a kind of promotional for the GC session for 2010 at Atlanta, Georgia. And they did this conference in the Philippines. And I have been given the opportunity to sing Give Me the Bible on that song. So that actually kind of what triggered and exploded my ministry on the northern part of the Philippines. And then came 2014. Long story short, I've already been doing ministry for ages at that point in time. I was 14, 15 years old. There was this big thing in Manila called Hope Impact, or Hope Manila 2014. I was 14 years old. I was turning 15, and there were lots of foreigners from different countries, speakers all around the Manila area where they were scattered to do satellite meetings. And one night, my dad and I were going to this evangelism where I was called to assist. And at while we were going there, we had an accident, and we didn't make it.
To the meeting? You didn't get there?
Yeah, because we were having a motorbike ride. And so my dad had a terrible broken leg. I had lots of wounds. And from that point in, before that, I was always with my dad. My dad was always traveling with me. And at that point, like, he's got broken leg. Long story short, he was bedridden for 8 months. And no one was working in the family. My mom was pregnant at that point in time. I was only turning 15. My brother was going to uni. And I was like, I had connections back then. But I'm like, I don't know, how am I going to survive with this? And And as a 14-year-old kid, I took the burden of that family to provide, because who's going to be the breadwinner? It was my dad as a breadwinner. My mom was a housewife.
Yes,
and I'm
yes.
like, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know that you will provide. So I continued doing ministry, music ministry, went to churches asking for prayers. And if I could fundraise, I was volunteering to do concert for a cause so I could raise funds for my dad's operation. Because in the Philippines, you pay for everything. You know, we don't have Medicare or, you know, like we don't have that great public health system. So you got to pay for everything. And I'm like, I don't know. We're not financially stable. And Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it. So I just continued doing the ministry. And I didn't really understand what I was doing. I just know that I could sing gospel songs and I can do all this. And from that moment on, I started doing testimonies as well.
Okay.
And people were like, oh, what's going on? And I started talking and sharing my experiences about this. And, you know, on that process, God has just like, yeah, I could feel his presence. And I'm like, wow, you know, as a 14-year-old kid, I didn't really understand what who God really was, you know?
Wow. So this experience, like I'm imagining that this was a life-changing experience that helped you realize that God was real?
Yes, because, you know, it was interesting. I was already baptized then for more than a year, because I was baptized. I was 13 years old, I think. It was the year before I got baptized. But in my thinking, after I had the baptism, I know in myself, I'm like, I need to change, you know, like I can't get baptized and keep on sinning, because that's my belief. Like I think of salvation as something that I should earn. And I'm like, once I get baptized, I cannot do any more silly things. Otherwise, God will hold me accountable for this, because I'm already aware that I sinned. And that's why I didn't want to get baptized, because that was my perception back then, you know, that if I get baptized, whenever I'm sinning, it's something that I did intentionally. You know what I'm saying?
Like, right.
Because I got baptized. I accepted Christ as my Savior. I didn't really understand the sanctification process back then. It was such a big journey. And I kept on beating up myself whenever I'm sinning, because I'm like, oh, the Lord will punish me now. And everything, something goes wrong in my life. I felt like maybe because I'd done something wrong. And that's why God sees this and he punishes me for it.
Wow.
And I got that, like, that picture of God.
And this is how it was. This was before you were baptized, or even after you were baptized?
I was baptized before the accident happened.
Okay, this was your picture of God. And that would have been really challenging.
Like, yes.
That would have been quite a, I'm imagining, burdensome kind of experience, because you're always scared, if I do something, you know, if I happen to slip up, God's going to be on my case, and that's going to be really not very nice and all of that.
Because we've got this culture in the family where we always got family worship. And after I got baptized, I tried myself really, because I don't really read the Bible. I don't like, you know, but I did struggle to that. Like, I want to read the Bible because this is what's going to make me right with God. I want to make devotionals. You know, I want to do devotionals. And whenever I miss those kind of things, I kind of like
felt really guilty. Did
you? Felt guilty. Yeah, there's a guilt about it. I'm like, oh. And the more I feel guilty, the more I kind of like feel separated from God.
Absolutely.
You know, and because you feel separated from God, it's like, I don't want to do it anymore, because how can I make it right? Like, I feel so guilty now. And it kind of like separates you more from God, the more you feel like separated from God. And it's just,
it's a trap, isn't it? It's a vicious cycle that you get into this mindset.
Yeah.
And so this accident where God has shaken up your world, really, shaken up your focus, because you're now focused on how is my family going to survive this? How is my dad going to get care? What am I going to do? How can I help? You've got all of this. And God is in this process coming through for you.
It was. Yeah, God was there. And, you know, one more. So my brother, actually, I had an older brother at this point in time. He was going to uni and he wanted to be a math professor. But my dad has always told him, I want you to be a pastor because I want you to do the ministry. And he didn't felt like God was calling him into that. He didn't want to read the Bible and everything. And he kind of felt forced at that point in time. And because my dad was really in a bad situation, I went into this church and there was this foreigner who was a Canadian citizen with Indian nationality. And he heard me speaking, trying to make an appeal for prayers and if they wanted to donate. And he couldn't understand what I was talking about. And he just saw me crying. And he's like, what's going on with you? you. And I kind of explained the situation. And the next day, he went to our house and actually saw the situation of our house. We were like really living poorly. My dad was in a casket. My mom was pregnant and all these kind of stuff. And then he saw my brother. And then he told my brother, do you want to be a pastor? And I was so shocked because I knew in my heart that my brother never wanted to be a pastor. And he said to himself, yes, I want to be a pastor.
Hmm.
And I'm like, what in the world? Long story short, 3 years after that when he was doing, because this pastor told him, if you want to be a pastor, I'll help you do your theology degree.
Mm.
I'll sponsor you until you graduate. And at that point in time, like, because we were also struggling, how is he going to get into uni, you know?
Yes.
And it was just like life-changing. Long story short, my brother is now an intern and doing God's work. He's already in the ministry, you know, called to ministry. So it's not only a life-changing experience for myself, but something that my brother had as well that he didn't know was there, you know.
Mm.
It's like a family, like God was shaking us every time. And whenever I see, whenever I remember those kind of times, and, you know, my mom was able to give birth and it was just amazing. And all the neighbors at that point in time were like, who's working in your family? You know, how are you eating? And the sponsor of my brother, he was actually sending us money every month to at least help us with our food, which was kind of interesting because he doesn't really know me. He doesn't really know my family. He just got touched on that story that he didn't even understand at first. And when he saw the situation, it was like God moved his heart through that, you know.
That is amazing, isn't it?
And I'm like, yeah, we did survive through those process without anyone working in the family, me still doing mission trips with my brother and me still studying. And my brother went into the uni doing his theology course all through that time, 8 months where my dad didn't had work.
Mm.
Nobody was working in the family except we just continued to be faithful in what God has called us to do. He blessed us on that. And I could never forget that.
Yeah.
It's something like, wow, God is real.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. That really was such a tremendous turning point for your whole family, really, wasn't it? In terms of just awakening a new understanding of what God would do in your life in the midst of a crisis, helping you come through it and everything. And we have a song that you have graciously wanted to share with us today, which to me, it seems like it would tie right into your story here. It's In His Presence, I believe, is the title. Is it meaningful to you in relation to this?
It's actually Sandy Patty's song. And Sandy Patty's like one of the gospel singers out there that I really admire. And the chorus part says, in your presence there is comfort. In your presence there is peace. When we seek to know your heart, we will find such blessed assurance in your holy presence, Lord. That verse there, when we seek to know your heart. In my journey as a Christian, I felt like, you know, I was just doing what I was told to do because my dad says that I got invited here, so you're going to sing this. And it was just, you know, something that I do because this is what my parents told me to do. So, you know, my parents are Christians. But actually, when we actively seek him and it's not even us that seeks him, but it's him who reveals himself to every situation, especially to a specific situation, you know, and in that point of time, he revealed himself through that accident. And because he revealed himself to me, I kind of like, who is this?
Yes.
And I just want to seek him. I want to know this God.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you meet someone that's really good to you, I'm like, how on earth, especially if you're like really nasty to that person and that person still constantly was so kind to you. And if I'm like, oh, how, you know, what on earth did I do to deserve this? And because God revealed himself to me, there was this Holy Spirit that is helping me to, like, you know, you want to know this. You want to know Jesus more. And that's, and when you just surround yourself and you just pour everything to the Lord, you just feel his presence. And as this song says, there is peace, there is comfort, and there is assurance.
Beautiful.
In God's holy presence.
That's so very nice. All right, then we will have a listen to that now. Looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. understand what your perfect will demands, but I learned to trust you more in your presence, Lord, in your presence there is comfort, in your presence there is peace.
Beautiful song that was, and the message of that was so touching. And as we've just been talking about your story, I can really see how this resonates with you for this part of the story, because it's kind of been like this whole new phase where you've been awakened to the fact that God cares for you, and you can seek His heart, and you've just had a new revelation of His interest in your life and carrying you through this hard patch. And that opened you up to seek Him more in a different way. Tell us a bit more about that.
Exactly. So, of course, after that incident, you know, I've learned to trust in God more. And I've really seen His providence all throughout our lives, through my studies and, you know, to my family, to my brother, to my dad, and even the miracle of dad, because he was supposed to have the surgery, but by God's grace, he didn't even had to go through the surgery. His bones just went back to normal after that
eight-month period.
Yeah.
That's incredible, isn't it?
He was supposed to go through surgery and he was really scared about it. Mm. But, you know, he's like, Lord, if there is a miracle where you could help me to have this bone just, you know, connect back without me going through this painful, costly and, like, bloody surgery, literally bloody, because they're going to put, like, iron to his thing, you know, to his leg to make it align. But, you know, it was such a miracle that God has helped him through that process. And of course, the year after, we've been called to do a mission trip to another area of the Philippines. It was like we were there for 3 months. I had to transfer school, and it was such a there was miracles after miracles that God has been doing into my life at that point in time. I actually lost my voice from 2012, even at that period of time where we were doing mission trip. I was on the process of, like, having, like, I was really struggling with my voice. Not until that 2015 where we were called to do a mission trip in the northern part of the Philippines, where I was really isolated for 3 months from the city, where God has gave back that voice to me and I could sing even better.
Wow.
And, well, long story short, the year after that, I have joined this competition called Showtime. So it's like literally similar to, like, The Voice of Australia, but it's in the Philippines, and it happens every day of the week. It's like Mondays to Saturdays. And my dad actually have pushed me to audition on that. And with me, I'm like, oh, sure, let's try it. You know, it's just like a fun thing to do. Maybe we can try. And it was not after that my dad has told me, you know what, the actual reason why I want you to join this competition is because I wanted to know, because I grew up in the church, singing in the church, I wanted to know if the talent that God has given you can actually, you know, like, kind of compete with the people from the world, you know, if it can match to the standard of because you sing in the church most of your life, so let's see if you can actually try to, you know, do this thing with the intention of reaching out those celebrities out there. He's like, we don't really know any pastors here in the Philippines that would intentionally reach out to celebrities. What if God will use you? And he told me specifically about this story of Daniel and his friends, where, you know, Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, stood up for their faith, you know?
Yes.
And I'm like, my dad's so ambitious, you know? In my head, I'm like, my dad's really ambitious right now. Like, that's so different. Like, how would I even stand up to that, you know? And I didn't really understand it until later on. And backstory before that, like, many years ago, 2011, it's just like kind of the foundation of that. There was a competition as well in the Philippines. It's like a game show, and the category was like singing champions. And that time, I was doing like singing championship on the just local area of where I was living, and I joined into this, and I actually got accepted to that competition, but the competition was Friday night. And, like, I literally had my school off that day because I, you know, there were, like, thousands of auditionings that day, and they only need to choose 6 players, and I was one of those chosen 6. And when the announcer told us that this competition will run on a Friday night, my dad went there and said, I'm so sorry, sir, but I cannot let my daughter join this competition. And I cried heaps. I'm like, why did you let me join in the first place if you're just gonna let me pull out? I was just 11 years old.
Yeah.
And he's like, you wouldn't understand now, but one day you will.
Wow. He had such a vision, didn't he? Your dad, really?
Yes. And then 2016 came. I joined this competition called
Before we go there, I just want to clarify. You mentioned that the problem of this original competition was because of doing singing on Friday night, right? Which is...
Yeah, that was the 2011 one.
Yes, and the problem of that, of course, for the sake of our listeners' understanding, is because it was the Sabbath,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was the Sabbath.
And so you didn't want to do this singing on the Sabbath.
Yeah, exactly.
So now you're coming along to another opportunity for a competition. Yes. And how does that go for you?
So, well, it was another TV station, but this was a TV station that is like one of the big, because there were three TV stations there that are big, but this one is like the biggest one, right? So it's actually not easy to go into that. So went into two auditions. And long story short, they gave me a Sabbath or a Saturday, because it was live. They gave me a Saturday schedule. And then I told them on the text, I said to them, "Ma'am and sir, I'm so sorry. I am a Seventh-day Adventist. And I, you know, Saturday is my Sabbath with the Lord." Of course, they don't really understand what Sabbath was, but it's like, it's my worship day. It's like my day with God. And I couldn't sing, unfortunately. And if you have to, you know, like if you can reschedule it, it would be good. But if not, then I wouldn't go through
the
competition.
Continue.
And then my dad before that, he told me, you know what? If, you know, I think God will make a miracle and will put you on Monday. Now, just to give you a little bit of background on this competition, you need to win 5 consecutive days to be a semifinalist. So you literally have to compete every day. So if you count from Monday to Friday, if I go Tuesday to complete the 5, I would have to go on the Saturday.
That's it.
And because you have band rehearsal before that. So after band rehearsal, they just give you random dates that you can pop in. And because I didn't go to the Saturday, I was thinking they already had someone on the Monday or next to that week. But then I said, I let go of it. And I said, I celebrated the Sabbath with my family and I just didn't think about it. I like kind of think that I was already out because, you know, I stood for it and I said, no, I'm not going to the Saturday. Mm-mm. And then Saturday, they texted me back and say, "You're going to compete on Monday. Can you do that?"
Oh, wow. So exactly what your dad said.
Yes,
again.
It's exactly what my dad
says. He had a lot of insight, didn't he?
And I don't know what's, like thinking about it now, I'm like, oh, wow, God is actually, I know my dad is not a prophet, but it's like he's got that really faith that like, I'm claiming that this is what's God
will do
for you. And before I competed there, he's told me, "I bet you're going to win until Friday." And I'm like, "Dad, you're being so unrealistic right now. It's not going to happen." There are like a lot of good singers out there. And they're like, you know, they're like not church people. I'm like, I sing in the church. I'm like, I don't compete, right? Like my voice is not something that can compete. He's like, "I bet you that's what God will do."
Yeah, his focus was so much on God and
and
power.
I'm like, long story short, I did win until Friday.
Uh-huh. So you were able to
every single day compete
until the Friday.
Which is fascinating because before that, like, you know, it was so cold that I'd usually lose my voice by then. But, you know, it was amazing how I was able to pull through that. And so in this competition, after you've been through a semifinals, you still need to compete to the semifinals round after that. Now, if you've won 5 times, right? You win 5 times, you become now a semifinalist. Right?
Uh-huh.
So on a Friday, you can continue at that point in time. I still haven't totally pulled out from the competition, but you can continue on the Sabbath because you can compete until 10 wins. And when you go through 10 wins, you're going to be called Hall of Famer, right?
Uh-huh.
So you can actually compete until 10, so you could get the Hall of Fame, or you can stop on the semifinal when you reach semifinals, when you become one of the semifinalists, right? And most of the semifinalists, they continue until they lose, like until someone you know, gets the microphone out of them. So they just literally wait.
They just keep going.
Yeah, keep
until
going.
They have that chance.
And I pulled out. I literally said there, I only prayed that I wouldn't, like, I wouldn't make any mistake. Because in that competition, if you make a mistake with some notes, there was like a gong. It was like a ding. Oh. And they will make you stop singing because you didn't, it was not good enough.
You're suddenly disqualified.
Yeah,
just
you're
like
disqualified,
that.
Yes. Mm. So I'm like, I did say that to the television. I said, my only prayer was, you know, for me to finish my whole song, but God gave me more than that. So I'm like, I'm going to rest tomorrow. I'm going to give the chance to others and let a new, you know, champion go through this. And I'm not going to compete. So it was the first time on that TV that actually when somebody went to the semifinals that somebody gave a chance. Yeah, stopped and gave a chance.
Wow. And so you had come through, you'd done everyone on all of the competitions up till the Friday. Successful, no mistakes, ready to go all the way to the Hall of Fame. And now you're saying, because obviously the next day is the Sabbath.
I couldn't mention about the religion, obviously, but I did say, and that's what made people, hang on a second, what's this girl about, you know? Like, what's in her, you know?
Okay.
And so, I stopped on the competition and... obviously, many months came out. There were more semifinalists that came after that. Mm-hmm. So they were waiting for us to be complete as a group so we could compete as a semifinalists. And now they're semifinals. The semifinals would be Monday to Saturday, right? Uh-huh. It's another level of competition. And that's where I did pray about it. And I'm like, Lord, what do I do now? Obviously, if I compete now, I'd have to compete from Mondays to Saturday because from semifinals, the Saturday is the last day where you will compete and then you would now go through the grand finals.
Uh-huh. So did you have to compete then for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday?
Yes.
So like six in a row this time for the semifinalists.
Yes, you will have to.
Uh-huh.
So I did pray about it.
Yes.
And there was I wish we had a lot of time, but long story short, there was like a promotional thing that happened, right? Mm. It was like a promotional video that all the semifinalists would go together and do a production number, what you call it.
Okay. Mm.
And they called us on a Saturday. And I'm like, what am I going to do now? And I said, Ma'am, I'm so sorry. I can't do it. You know my conviction from the very beginning. I wouldn't be able to compete. And she just like, you know, she lost it. She's like, I don't understand why you even joined this competition if you're just going to pull out. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. And I've let it pass. I didn't receive any call from them. And I'm like, okay, I'm out. I don't know what's going to happen. Mm. And obviously, the other competitors did not have the production number. And then it was a new year. It was 2017. It was that year that they called me again and they said, Jeremy, you're going to have a production number on a Monday. And I went there and they told me, you know, the reason why the production number is Monday? It's because of you. I'm like, huh? And at that point in time, I was like, oh, wow, God is making a difference in this. Like, maybe he would make a miracle and would make me tape it at somehow in some point that, you know, I wouldn't be competing on a Sabbath.
Yeah.
And then after a performance, the manager called me and said, Jeremy, what are you going to do in the semifinals? And I said, I'm not going to do it. I said, I'd rather have you pull me out of this. And he said, can I ask for your pastor to come? Because maybe, you know, God is gracious. God is gracious. He will understand if you don't go to your church on the Sabbath. He will understand that. And that was a big challenge because, you know, I've come from being guilty.
Yes.
Guilty of like trying to save myself. And now I'm like, well, he has a point. God is gracious. I can just make this,
and
right?
And that would have been so attractive to you.
Yeah,
too.
I can just make this. And I'm like, God will forgive me, you know? That's what he said to me. And then I'm like, I didn't know what to do. I was 17 and it's like, I don't think I can do it. And he's like, well, call your pastor and I will ask your pastor. I will ask permission from your pastor to let you, you know, have an absent from your church on one Sabbath day. Right? Long story short, I did bring my pastor. but not to convince, not for them to convince my pastor, but for my pastor to back me up from the scriptures on why I'm making that conviction.
Uh-huh.
And not because they had this conviction that it's my church, it's the Seventh-day Adventist church that's pulling me out from that.
Yes, yes.
And I wanted the pastor to be there to help me because I wasn't really theologically, you know, intellectual at that point in time.
Uh-huh.
I did have an understanding. I had that seed planted in me, mm-hmm. but I didn't know how to explain it. So I had that pastor, and there was the time that they gave me all these offers and they said, you know what, Pastor, Jeremy is an asset of this show. She can win millions. She can have house and she can have recording contracts. She can bring her family out in poverty and she can even help your church when she gets money. And there was all these temptations.
Wow.
Glitz and glamour. You name it, right?
Yeah, everything.
She can be an international singer. She's got a really good following at that point, blah, 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 blah. And the rest of it mm-hmm. was history. And the pastor said, Jeremy is also an asset of the church. And I'm like, oh, wow. This is kind of the great controversy going on,
yes.
you know? And I'm like, Lord, what is this? What uh-huh. is this? And I'm like, I don't know. What are you going to do with it? And I'm like, I said, and there the pastor kind of like just explained what the Seventh-day Adventists believe that they don't even know about.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, this girl is here. She asked me. She voluntarily asked me because she wanted me to explain to you about her convictions. And she wanted me to tell you that and I want to clear it out to you, it was not me.
Yes.
That told her not to go on that. It was her personal choice. And she literally asked me, Pastor, help me explain to them what my convictions are.
Yeah.
Because I want them to understand that I would want to prioritize my faith over this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Pastor was saying, I don't know. I don't know what's in this girl, but I just know that because she stood up on her faith, God is there. And, you know, she will never lose her ministry, even though she turned away from this competition, that God will open doors for her.
The scripture says, them that honor me, I will honor, doesn't he? So
yes.
even if you are turning away this for the sake of God's
yes.
honor, God is going to open
yes.
new pathways for you. So we're going to just take a little pause now. Obviously, I'm
yeah.
very keen to hear how this all comes together.
Yeah.
We're just going to have a little pause to take a break and let our listeners know how they can contact us if they have any questions or want to know a little bit more about our program here. So stay tuned. We've been talking with Jeremy Heitman, and after the break, we're going to hear the rest of his story.
Thank you for joining us on By the Word of Their Testimony. If you would like more information about today's program, or if you have any questions, please contact 3ABN Australia Radio by phoning 02-4973-3456, or you can send an email to radio@3abnaustralia.org.au. You can also contact us on our 3ABN Australia Radio Facebook page. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to By the Word of Their Testimony. I am your host, Casey Verkerke, and we've been talking with Jeremy Heitman today, hearing her story. She's from the Philippines and is a singing missionary, pretty
yes,
much.
Yes,
that is it.
Yes.
And she's just been sharing all about her experience where she was in a competition.
Yes.
And the challenge of standing up for her faith in the midst of the competition and holding on to that, even though there was temptations
yes.
for her to sing on the Sabbath, right?
Yeah.
And you felt that wasn't going to be in accordance with your Sabbath observance. And you've just come to the point where you brought your pastor.
Yeah.
And he was going to be your support in
yeah.
standing up for your faith. And how did that change things? Like, where did the story go from there in terms of the competition and everything?
So obviously the manager was like really, really nice at that point in time. And now they've come to understand what was my conviction all about. And they said, I've never heard of this story before. A lot of people out here would want to be on Jeremy's position. But I could not understand that obviously her faith is bigger than her dreams.
Mm.
And they gave me a day. I still did production numbers by then, and they actually gave me, after a production number, my last production number, they gave me a time where I could gracefully exit the show and tell the fans why I'm not going to continue. I couldn't tell about my faith, but I did say something about, I have a priority more than this. That was the words
that's that what I've, you could say.
That was the words that I left, and they just, what was that priority?
They were left with a question in
mind.
They
were left with a question, and that became a story in the Philippines, like a big story, obviously, because people already knew me from before I was doing the competition.
And they were following you.
And it just became like this viral thing in the Philippines. I'm like, how in the world? And it became a massive witness to the people around listening. And the year after that, I had this lung surgery. Where I got really sick, and I didn't really understand why I was sick at that point in time. And I'm like, well, last year I was, my faith has been tested, and now my faith is being tested again. And going through that process where we didn't have money, that story from the year before became God's way to heal me and to bring me back to that ministry, for me to realize that indeed he has called me to this music ministry, not to do entertainment things.
Yes.
Because after that surgery, where I don't know, I got interviewed by Hope Channel South Philippines. I got interviewed, and that story became viral before Facebook deleted it, right? There were like millions of people who watched the video, the story about behind that Showtime. And that time I was badly sick. That was also the year that I decided I would commit my life into full-time ministry. And then I got sick, and I couldn't fulfill that promise to the Lord that I would do the singing ministry full-time. And when God healed me from that situation, even he paid all the bills through those people who donated that watched my video from Hope Channel because of that story from that year before. It was just tremendous. You know, miracles after miracles happened. And the year after that, 2019, I said to myself, well, the Lord, 2018, August, I had the surgery. A month after my surgery, I said to myself and I said to my family, next year, I'm going to skip uni again, because this is the year that I'm going to fulfill my promise to the Lord, my commitment to him, that I will do full-time ministry. And it doesn't matter even if I don't go to uni again this point in time, because I did skip uni the year before.
Because of your sickness.
Yeah, because of my sickness. Yeah. No, before I got sick, I already did commit, but I got sick. And I found out that I was sick, so I couldn't fulfill that. So the year after, I fulfilled that. And God called me into different ministries at that point in time. And then 2020 came. COVID hit. But 2019, that was like a year full of...
You made the most of that year to serve and fulfill your promise to God.
And me seeing God all through it. And I'm like, wow. And that, you know, that 2019, I got engaged to Scott.
Oh, wow. And that was a special year.
It was a special year. And 2020 came. But because God has called me to do that year just in full-time ministry, you know, I've seen him. And that's something that I needed to go through the process of 2020 until, you know, getting separated from Scott and getting married online and all these kind of stuff and all the challenges with COVID. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, God is faithful.
Yeah.
God is faithful, I could see.
What a tremendous experience that very much illustrates that. And you even have a song that you have done on that very topic, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Yes.
And I think this is such a picture of the way that you have seen God work in your life.
Indeed.
Isn't it? And so we look forward to listening to it right now. Great is Thy Faithfulness, sung by Jeremy Heitman.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Testimony of your life, hey? And I loved how at the ending there you said, "Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto thee."
Amen.
Just pointing back to God for all that he has done for you in your life and taking you from a place where you have felt that you had to do things to please God, not that he is, you know, freely loving you and that his pleasure is being poured out on you. And this was quite a journey for you as he was working through all these circumstances to help you understand just how much he cares about you. And yeah, just wondering, where to now for your life? I mean, you've been through all of this experience. You've gotten married now to your husband through COVID, and you're now doing ministry. But I guess I just want to open up, you know, any final thoughts from your story that you wanted to share?
It is a journey. Life is a journey. And I think I am in a much better place now than I was yesterday and the day before. Mm. And every day I could see God leading, you know.
Amen.
And I know that, you know, I don't think I could ever come to perfection because within myself I don't have the strength to do that. But I could see Christ literally as I surrender myself daily, that he is working in and through me, that even the strength and the power to overcome sin, to overcome those temptations and battles and challenges along the way, as long as we accept the gift of salvation and we allow him to use us and allow that free gift so we could now obey him, you know, because I think obedience is that natural thing. It just goes naturally. When we really understand the love of God for us, then obedience becomes a natural thing. Now I feel like free. I've been freed from that burden in my heart that I gotta keep up to this standard, because now God, I've accepted Jesus Christ in my life and I've been righteous. I've been made righteous through Jesus Christ. And it's a beautiful experience to not be burdened with a kind of guilt and shame because I was kind of trying to, you know, run through this race that I could never win because I'm doing it within myself.
But yes.
as long as we die to self and we let Christ live in and work in and through us, then it's such a beautiful place to be.
It makes such a difference. I mean, yes. I actually really relate to your story because I've been brought up in the Adventist Church and had a similar experience, and just the experience of trying beforehand, experiencing then the love of Christ, and then just experience this incredible peace that you never had before, that God, He loves you, and He is the one that does the work in us.
Indeed.
Nothing that we can do trying on our own strength.
No.
It's all God.
It's all God
working in and through us and with us. And that's such a huge lesson. And in terms of your whole life experience, is there anything that you really want to share for our listeners today that you think would be helpful for them and their spiritual life?
I think the level of trust, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and run to God, not from God.
Yes.
You know, I think the biggest challenge for us is because we're so guilty with all our our shortcomings. We feel like, oh, God has abandoned me. God would not accept me because I'm so sinful. But just come to Him as you are. Come to Him as you are. And you will see and realize that Jesus, God, will accept you with open arms.
Yeah. Amen. What a beautiful picture of God that paints, doesn't
Amen.
It?
Amen. Yes,
such
indeed.
A blessing. Thank you so much for sharing with us today. You've
Thank
been listening
you,
to By the Word of Their Testimony. And our special guest has been Jeremy Heitman, a singing missionary from the Philippines, living here in Australia with her husband and little baby son. Thank you so much for sharing. And you know, a person's testimony is evidence that God is real and that God cares about us. So, dear listener, I encourage you to share your testimony today of what God has done for you in your life. You will be blessed, as well as everyone who hears. I am your host, Casey Vokoka, and until next time, may the Lord richly bless you. Bye for now.
You've been listening to a production of 3ABN Australia Radio.